Shabbat Shalom. What a beautiful morning. What a beautiful day. If it gets a little too warm in here, raise your hand. We'll bump the heater down. It was a bit chilly this morning. And forgive me, my sniffles. I'm getting over a cold. I didn't know if I was even going to be able to speak this morning. Genesis chapter 37. Verse 1. Jacob lived in a land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. He brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. In some families, not all, but in some, the firstborn and the lastborn are special. The ones in the middle, they just tend to be there. You know? Kai's smiling at me. Look at that scowl. Some families, mind you. Whenever I heard that we were going to have another grandchild, first thing I thought about was that little bus that the Partridge family drove. You know, we're going to have to get one of them. But I was really concerned that, how could I have more love to share? You know? And I love each one of my grandchildren equally. And I think that's a blessing. I couldn't imagine my life without any of them. Now, in Joseph's case, he was loved more than the others because he was the youngest. God gave him to Jacob in his old age. Jacob settles in the land of Canaan. He makes his son Joseph a colorful coat. Joseph's brothers hate him because of his father's love for him. Now Joseph has two dreams showing his prominence over his brothers, and they hate him even more. It's like pouring fuel on a fire. Now Jacob sends Joseph to Shechem to see his brothers, and they plot to kill him. But Reuben saves him and persuades the brothers instead to throw him into a pit. They later decide to sell Joseph to a passing Arab caravan. They take Joseph's coat back to Jacob. Assuming that Joseph must be dead, Jacob mourns him inconsolably. Now in the meantime, Joseph is sold to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officers. God grants him success, and he quickly rises to be in charge of the household. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, but when he flees from her, she falsely accuses him of raping her and has him thrown into jail. God again shows Joseph favor, and he's soon placed in charge of all the other prisoners. Now, my daughter Heather this morning just told me a little story. Barry with Jews for Jesus is in prison for holding up a banner with Yeshua on it and the phone number, or whatever it said. Yeshua equals salvation. Well, of course, that's what Yeshua means. Right. Well, Barry, Tirza worked with him in London, and he's in prison. And the last report that they received was that Barry was making a lot of friends in prison. So my youngest granddaughter, Talia, pipes up, "That's just like Joseph. Just like Joseph." Joseph was put in charge of all the other prisoners. God again shows his favor towards Joseph. Now Pharaoh's wine steward and baker offend their master, and they are thrown into jail. One night they each have a dream. They didn't understand it. They asked Joseph to interpret it. Joseph interprets their dreams to mean that the steward will return to his former position in 3 days, and that the baker will be executed at the same time. He asks the steward to remember him to Pharaoh, and on the third day it comes to pass, as Joseph has said, but the steward forgot about Joseph. Now, I can relate a little bit. I'm not saying anywhere near what Joseph has experienced. But I know that if Christianity was outlawed, half my family would be first in line to turn us in. And that's unfortunate, you know. They despise us, they hate God, and they hate their heritage. But the funny thing is, even though they're unbelievers, they know exactly how Christians are supposed to act. So what can we learn from Joseph's story? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? We've heard that time and time again. Now, I spoke a while ago about faith and how it grows. Joseph here had a choice to make. He could accept his circumstances and trust God, or he could despise God for his situation and lose hope. Have you ever been wronged? Have you ever found yourself in a situation and cry out to God, why? I find that when that happens, we need to continue to trust God. But here's the key. Let God deal with the situation. He is has a much better handle on things and can do it a much better way than we can. Now, we all know how Joseph's situation ultimately works out, and that'll be covered later in the parshas as we go. But here's what we're to remember and hold on to. God's word tells us, all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Sound familiar? We may have trials in this life. But Rav Shul has a good word for them. Light and momentary afflictions in light of eternity. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and see the bigger picture. And that bigger picture is his plan for you and me and eternal life. Shabbat Shalom.